are in a different location today because we've got so many people in the Bible study. We've had to come in to the main building. I cannot believe how packed it is. Wow, that is incredible. I am just blown away. Revival has come to Wales. What a blessing. I don't think I've ever seen the balcony so packed. Now, it's a little bit cooler in the sanctuary rather than the extension. So we meet in here tonight for the one day a year that we've actually got weather that's like touching the 30s, and then we like moaning and complaining it's too warm. I'm not moaning because I love it. Rain tomorrow, there we are. The hotter the better for me. Just bring on global warming. I love it. There we are. Amen. All right. If you have any Bibles with you, turn to Job chapter 35. Job chapter 35. Last week we looked at Job chapter 34. And Elihu is kind of making his own conclusions about Job. It's really weird. Elihu is a bit of a strange character because you start off quite liking the guy. You're like, he seems to, you know, he seems to have Job's best interests at heart. I mean, he made some comments to Job. You think, fair play. You know, this guy is really trying to help him. And then it's almost as if he slips back into exactly what the three friends were doing and just almost berates Job without really giving him a whole host of new explanations, even though he does kind of offer two explanations that we kind of think, well, that's a little bit different. You know, sometimes God sends suffering to keep us from sinning any further. And so, like I say, he has offered a few new explanations. What he says must be better than what the three friends say, because again, when Job does, when God does get to speak at last, he says that his wrath is kindled against the three friends, but it doesn't say anything against Elihu. So Elihu has been pretty tough on Job in chapter 34. He still believes that Job was guilty of some kind of sin, just like the other three men. He accused Job of being self-righteous. And again, this is down to a slight misunderstanding of what Job is saying. Job is not being self-righteous in the fact that he's saying, I have not sinned. Job is simply saying, I don't know what sin I've committed for all of this to be happening to me. He's not saying he's sinless because, you know, he was an upright man, a man who eschewed evil. And if there was a man, I believe, who would confess to something that he had done to not be in a bad standing with God, to be in a bad standing with God, I believe that that person would be Job. So Elihu basically referred to Job as a bit of a hypocrite, a rebel. He didn't really know what he was talking about. And ironically, it was Elihu who was a bit off base here in terms of not really knowing what he was talking about. Like I said last week, he took three or four things that Job had said, two of which he took completely out of context. Elihu made a rash statement saying that whether you're sinful or godly, it doesn't matter. It does not affect God. And in one sense, it's true. Our behavior does not affect God's character. Whether we sin or whether we do as much as we can to not sin, it doesn't affect the holiness of God. It doesn't affect who God is. However, Elihu is wrong in the sense that it does affect how our relationship is with God. So our behavior does affect God to some degree, because the scripture says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. Well, if our behavior didn't affect God at all, then there would be no need for those type of verses to be in the scripture. So our sin does affect God in the fact that if we sin, then there's that fellowship issue that is hindered, that is damaged. We realize, you know, that our behavior does affect God in some way. It doesn't affect his holiness. It doesn't affect his righteousness. It doesn't affect him in terms of his attributes or his character, but affects him in terms of our relationship with him. So Elihu also believed that Job, even though his words were numerous, that they were effectively empty and without knowledge, and that his prayers weren't being answered because of his pride and sinfulness. In verse 35, and again, what I don't want to do, I don't want to kind of do what we did with the three boys where you said, they've said this about Job, and they haven't offered an answer, and then Job responded this way. And then they just said this again, which is exactly the same thing as what they said in the previous chapter, and then Job responded this way. And then they said that. So what I want to look at in chapter 35 is one statement that Elihu makes, which I think is a pretty incredible statement. Did anyone guess what it was when I said, we're going to look at a statement, and everybody kind of rushed to their Bibles? Anybody guess what it was? Okay, let's read it and let's see if we can find out what we're going to focus on tonight. So in verse 1 of chapter 35, it says, Elihu spake moreover and said, Thinkest thou this to be right, that thou sayest my righteousness is more than God's? For thou saidest, what advantage will it be unto thee? And what profit shall I have if I be cleansed from my sin? I will answer thee and thy companions with thee. Look unto the heavens and see, and behold the clouds which are higher than thou. If thou sinnest, what dost thou against him? Or if thy transgression be multiplied, what doest thou unto him? If thou be righteous, what givest thou him? Or what receiveth he of thine hand? Thy wickedness may hurt a man as thou art, and thy righteousness may profit the son of man. By reason of the multitude of oppressions, they make the oppressed to cry. They cry out by reason of the arm of the mighty. But none saith, where is God my maker, who giveth songs in the night, who teacheth us more than the beasts of the earth, and maketh us wiser than the fowls of heaven? There they cry, but none giveth answer because of the pride of evil men. Surely God will not hear vanity, neither will the Almighty regard it. Although thou sayest thou shalt not see him, yet judgment is before him, therefore trust thou in him. But now, because it is not so, he hath visited his anger, yet he knoweth it not in great extremity. Therefore doth Job open his mouth in vain. He multiplieth words without knowledge. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day, for this time together, and for this privilege of coming around your word. And Father, we pray that you continue to speak to our hearts through your servant Job. We pray that you continue to speak to our hearts, even through the ill counsel of the friends. And Father, we look forward, anticipate the time where we get to hear you speak to Job. But Father, we are thankful for the fact that we hear your voice every single time we pick up the word of God. And we open it and read it. And we just ask now that we wouldn't just hear that word, but we would apply it to our hearts and lives, that we might be doers of that word and not hearers only. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So Elihu makes kind of a throwaway statement, if it were. He's kind of talking about those who do not have a relationship with the Lord. And he says, but no one says, where is God my maker, who giveth me songs in the night? I absolutely love that statement, because he does. He gives us a song in the night. No matter what trial you face, no matter what difficulty you go through, God gives you a song in the night. How many of you have ever done this? How many of you have ever been really, really nervous? And maybe, I lay in there, Sarah used to park, Jamie told me that Sarah used to park in a really dodgy area of Cardiff. And she would literally have to walk from her offices through to some really, really dodgy places to get to her car. So I'm going to ask you this. Did you hum or whistle or even sing on your way to the car? It was the crime watch music. So if Eve is walking to the car, or she's, you know, when she used to work in the arena in Swansea, and she'd be kind of working late and she'd be walking back to the car, she would always like phone us or talk to us, or you just want that comfort in you of talking to somebody, of knowing somebody's there. And oftentimes when we're nervous or when we're frightened or when we're afraid, sometimes we find ourselves singing. Sometimes we find ourselves la 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 la. It might not be a particular tune of any recognition, but we sing. And the incredible thing is, sometimes is you might even find yourself doing this when you're absolutely petrified, when you are frustrated, or when you feel like your world is about to cave in. Suddenly the Lord gives you a song in the night. You know, Paul said about singing to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You know, sorrow can be swapped with serenity. Why? because God giveth us a song in the night. Discouragement can be defeated with delight. Why? Because God gives us a song in the night. Gloom can be gutted with glee. Why? Because God gives us a song in the night. And fear can be flattened by faith because he gives us a song in the night. You know, those circumstances will batter us. Those circumstances will bruise us. Those circumstances will literally feel like they are grinding us into the ground. We can find help. Why? Because he gives us a song in the night. Sickness, you know, when we come to ill health and we feel like, I just can't do this anymore, then all of a sudden there's like a renewed bit of strength. Why? Because he gives us a song in the night. You know, it's incredible how the Lord works, he's able to, even the most untuneful person is able to make a joyful noise unto the Lord because he gives a song in the night. And we're thankful for those tearful or traumatic times that the Lord touches us and gives us a song in the night when he literally changes. He hasn't changed the situation. That's still exactly the same. He hasn't changed the circumstances. That's still exactly the same. But he's changed our song. Because he's, you know, I always talk about, I've done this before where I've asked Steve to play like a minor key. And if you've heard a minor key, it's like very, almost like a funeral type of music. It's quite solemn. And how many of you know the Imperial March in Star Wars? Dun, 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 dun. Minor key. It's like very like, oh, solemn. And sometimes our life is just like that. We feel like our life is in a minor key. And we're struggling because of health, because of worry, because of anxiety, because of fear, because of the world literally pressing in on us. And all of a sudden, the Lord just comes along and says, let me just change two of those notes. And he changes that minor key to a major key. And it completely changes our song. Doesn't change the situation, doesn't change the circumstances, but he changes the song. Psalm 119:62 says, at midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. God can make us grateful because he gives this song in the night. It's amazing how we can change that. And think of it, at midnight I will rise to give thee thanks. What is normally classed as the darkest part of the night? You know, midnight would be classed as that, the witching hour maybe. They would be classed as that dark part of the night, that part of the night where you can't quite get to sleep and your mind starts to kind of run riot with you and your mind starts to race ahead and your mind starts to worry and your mind starts to panic and your mind goes over and over and over. And the psalmist says, at midnight, that's when I'll rise and I won't worry and stress and fret and panic. But God gives a song in the night. So I'll give thanks unto thee because of who you are, Lord. When God gives a song in the, gives us a song in the night, it not only makes us grateful, it makes us glad. God is able to help us in those dark times and give us even joy in the dark situations that we face, because his song can enable us to be content in everything. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Isaiah 30:29 says, ye shall have a song as in the night when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. In spite of all that we face, God's song in the night can not just make us grateful, it can make us glad. But that song in the night can also make us feel guarded. It's like that protection. You know, when you, I don't know if you've ever done this, but, you know, when you may be on your own, you hum, or, I always know when Brother Andrew's in the church, because he whistles. And so I know then if he's downstairs, I can hear the whistle, and then he's coming up the stairs. And one day I was in the church, and he was whistling. I thought, I'm sure that song's by like Rihanna or something. That's like a, how would Brother Andrew know a song like that? It wasn't Brother Andrew. I think it was, I don't know if it was Alicia. I can't even remember who it was. But it wasn't Brother Andrew. He came up the stairs and I was like, oh, I just wondered. I wondered how you knew that type of song. Because it's like it was, I guess it was a popular song. But it is, you know, when people are maybe alone in a place, they'll just whistle or they'll sing. I'm not saying that Brother Andrew is afraid when he comes into the church, but it does, it makes us feel guarded. I remember saying, I can't remember who I was telling last week. I was in church one time, and I tell you something. When you are in this church on your own in the night, there are some really, really strange sounds. And I remember it was, I think it was men's meeting, and I was downstairs and we were waiting for people to arrive, and I heard footsteps upstairs. And I'm always a bit nervous when I'm downstairs and there's, you know, there's people up here, and I'm like, there's a lot of stuff up here. So I thought, I'll just go and check who it is. So I run up the stairs, nobody here. And I mean, they were footsteps, big, solid footsteps. Yeah. And I was like, what is going on? Well, what had happened was Mike Young had come into the church, had come halfway down the aisle, and then had gone over the shop to go and get some milk for the men's meeting, for tea and coffee. So it was. But it's like every time I come in here, there's sounds upstairs, or there's sounds. And if I need to go and get a book or something, every single light goes on, and you suddenly find yourself humming to yourself, or whistling, or la 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 la, it's me walking through the church. But it does. Whilst we sing to make ourselves feel guarded, you know, the Lord can give us a song in the night, because it does, it guards our heart. His song, if you like, provides security in our hearts. Psalm 32:7 says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. And it's incredible, isn't it? And, you know, when you think about it, you wonder why music was such an important part of the Old Testament. You know, what did Saul do in order to soothe himself, even when he was under spiritual attack? David played for him, and the music soothed him. Why is music such a big part of Old Testament worship? Because it's important. Singing is important to the Lord. Guess what? When we get to heaven, we're going to sing a new song. So it's incredible, the fact that our we can feel guarded because he gives us a song in the night. And God did this for Daniel. I truly believe that when Daniel got into that lion's den, the Lord gave him a song in the night. And what happened? We know Daniel slept like a baby. The king, on the other hand, was pacing back and forth because he wanted to know that Daniel was okay. Did he survive? Was everything okay? Yeah, Daniel was fine. Why? Because God gave him a song in the night. And a song in the night also keeps us grounded. It gives us that stability. You know, we all want stability. You know, whether that's financial stability, whether that's stability in the family, stability in the home, stability in work. And his song is able to give us that stability even when life is unstable. Because the Lord wants us to lean on him in the difficult times. And in order to do, you know, in order to help us do that, he gives us a song in the night. Psalm 42:8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Psalm 34:1, a psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed, I will bless the Lord at all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. God's song in the night. When we go through trials, God gives us a song so it, it girds us, as it were. It helps us. It prepares us for what lies ahead. And that song in the night can help us direct our focus upon him and his word. Psalm 119:55, I've remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. If I was to ask you this, what Bible story would you think of immediately where people find themselves in a difficult situation and they just start singing? Paul and Silas in prison. And I know this is different. I know this is not an expository message on Job 35, but I couldn't help it. When I saw this, you go off on a bit of a tangent. And I just kept thinking of Paul and Silas. You know, God gives us a song in the night when we are battered verbally. And the thing is, as believers, there are going to be times when we are, things are said about us, families frustrated with us, friends don't understand why we've done this, even people that we speak to in the streets, you know, if we try and hand out a tract, we try to witness to somebody, you know, you church people are all the same, are you? So he gives us a song when we have been battered verbally. Acts chapter 16 and verse 19 says, and when her master saw the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. Being slandered or falsely accused of something is quite stressful. And you feel unfairly treated. You feel like, I want to defend myself, but I don't really know how to defend myself, and I can't get my words across. And sometimes we don't even know what to say. You ever had that when you've maybe had a conversation with somebody, and once you've left them, you've thought, why didn't I say that? Oh, that would have been the perfect answer. You know, they kind of run ribbons around me then when they, or run rings around me then when I, and I couldn't answer that, and I didn't know what scripture that was. And then afterwards, you think, that's what I should have said. And sometimes it's hard when somebody's said stuff about us or against us or to us, and it's a bit stressful. And Paul and Silas were going through this, but the consequences of their accusations were far worse than any consequences of somebody saying something to us, because they ended up in prison. They were accused of troubling or confusing the city. You know, Lydia, who was, I think it was Lydia in Acts chapter 16, who was converted, well, she made a lot of money for the false religious system of Philippi. So they didn't like the fact that this woman now is a Christian, and therefore is no longer going to make any money for them. So they really go after Paul and Silas. And, they launch such a vicious attack against them that these guys end up in prison. And when you look at Job, that's all Job has suffered. I don't mean that's all he suffered, because he suffered loads, but that's what he has suffered more, is the verbal attacks from his friends. You know, how battered Job must be mentally, because the ones who should have stuck with him, the ones who should have said, come on, Job, we'll get through this together. Come on, we're here for you. It doesn't matter what you go through. We're not leaving your side until we get through this difficulty. But they were just like, you've done this, you've done that. You shouldn't have done this. You should have been there. You should have gone there. You should have did. Why don't you just do this? And Job is just falsely accused. And maybe his song has gone, but he hasn't got that song in the night, as it were, because he's discouraged and he's bitter towards his accusers. He's upset with the Lord, even though he loves the Lord more than anything. But when Job finally gets rid of that bitterness and prays for his friends, as we'll see later on, he regains the joy and blessings, and God gives him a song in the night. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Paul put it this way, bless those who persecute you, bless and curse not. So he gives us a song when we are battered verbally, and he gives us a song when we are beat up physically, mentally, spiritually. There are times when we feel beaten up. Yeah, I don't know if any of you have ever been in a physical fight, if you ever got in a fight in school. And you are literally drained physically. You feel like rubbish. And it says in Acts 16, the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they'd laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. So Paul and Silas had been treated really bad, and they were bullied physically. And you might say, well, I've never been bullied physically. I've never been beaten up. Sometimes the devil really beats us up. From a spiritual point of view, we feel absolutely battered and bullied. And it's incredible. You know, we meet so many mean-spirited people in the world today. Just kind of being in their presence sometimes, you feel like you need to come wash yourself off because you just feel like absolutely ruined just being next to them. And sometimes we feel like we've been beat up because it's just one thing after another. You know, a bully is relentless. If you ever seen a bully in school, they do not stop. You know, I'm sick and tired of reading stuff in the paper where kids have taken their own lives because of bullies in school. But they don't stop. You know, they keep going and they keep going and they keep goading and they keep prodding and they keep pushing. And that's what the devil does. The devil's just a bully because he'll keep prodding us and he'll keep pushing us and he knows exactly what buttons to push. A bully always knows what buttons to push. They always know what they're... When I used to get picked on in school, there was one word people used to say to me, and it used to just crush me. And it was horrible. But the bullies know which words to use and which buttons to push. And the devil knows exactly what to say. Are you really a Christian? You don't even know when you got saved. You're not even doing that properly. Well, why are you going there? What are you saying that for? What are you doing that for? You really believe all this stuff? And you're like, blimey, it's relentless. But he gives us a song when we're beat up. And there's nothing the devil can say that'll take us out of the Lord's hands. There's nothing the devil can say that'll stop us going to glory because we know Christ is our Savior. And we know that he is the father of lies. And he's just a bully. But God gives us a song when we are beat up. He gives us a song when we're bound. In Acts 16:34, having received such a charge, they thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. Paul and Silas were beaten, they were battered verbally, and they're bound. And sometimes in our walk, we literally feel like that. We feel almost imprisoned, like there's no way out of this situation, there's no way out of this circumstance, there's no way I can get through this. I just don't see any solution. I just cannot get it. I am bound. Can I just say this to you? That's the perfect time for the Lord to give you a song in the night. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Paul, the psalmist said, I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? God gave Paul and Silas a song in the night. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in the house. And he took them that same hour that night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straight away. How incredible for the fact that God gives us a song in the night. We've all been in a situation where we feel battered verbally. Isn't it amazing how we say, I think that's the stupidest saying on the planet, sticks and stones may break my bones and names will never hurt me, because it does. Words hurt far more, and people can say the nastiest things. When we are battered verbally, when we are beat up physically, spiritually, mentally, sometimes we just feel like the devil's using us as a punch bag. And we're like, when is this going to end? Because it's like just nonstop. And when we're bound, when we literally feel imprisoned in the situation we find ourselves in, and we think, I can't get out of this. That's the time God gives us a song in the night. That's the time he changes that minor key of bruising to a major key of praising. And Paul and Silas just sang. I wonder what they sang. I wonder what psalm they sang. But I know what happened afterwards is heaven moved. And even in that situation, souls were saved because God gave a song in the night. I'm thankful that I know him as my Savior. And that no matter what happens, no matter how dark the night is, that's when he'll give you the sweetest of songs. Father, we thank you again for this time together tonight and for this opportunity to come around your word, Lord. I just pray that you would continue to speak to our hearts, Lord, for everyone this year or watching online, for the difficulties that people are facing. I know that there are people watching online whose loved ones are in hospital. I know that there are people here who've got loved ones who are unsaved. And I know that there are people here and online who are facing situations far more difficult than we can ever possibly imagine. And Lord, we're asking, not necessarily for the circumstances or the situation to change, because you are in control and you know all things. What we're asking for is for us to be able to have a song, that we might be able to get through this, even though we are battered and beaten up and bound. Would you restore to us our song if our key has been off? Would you restore to us our song if we've even forgotten how to sing? And would you just, as you've promised, give us that song in the night. And then at midnight, we'll arise and we'll praise you. Not because of what you've done in our situation, but simply because of who you are. So, Father, we pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, thank you, everybody, for joining us online. We will be back on Sunday at 11 o'clock and Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. And again, just continue to pray for all those who are struggling. If Peggy's watching, praying for your husband, Bill, Peggy. If Jane and Michael are watching, praying for you guys. Just asking for prayer for Ron. I haven't heard yet how his treatment has gone today, but you just pray for Ron and Gina. And again, anybody watching online who needs a song in the night, then the Lord can give it to you. So we just keep you lifted up in prayer. Amen. So thank you again for joining us, and we will see you on Sunday at 11 o'clock.